Time to have a look at education things, and this morning John Fischetti joins us talking about our brain development. I think I'm still going, John. Either that or I've stopped many, many years ago, but you're going to sort of get us right on this morning, aren't you?
Yeah, you're still going, Mark. Good morning.
Thank goodness. There's still some room for growth.
So think about this. When we're born, we have 100 billion neurons that we're equipped with at birth. We gain 2,500 per day, per neuron, till we're age 3, when we get 15,000 per neuron. So at the age of 3, we have 100 billion neurons. Those are basically the fiber of learning. And there's 25,000 connections amongst those 100 billion. There's 100 billion stars in the Milky Way. So inside of our cognitive capacity is this almost infinite ability to connect and create knowledge and to learn.
That's impressive. So we're getting almost Men in Black on us there. We have the Milky Way in our brain.
Yeah.
So we have got this, I guess, notion that we sort of get up to late teens and we get to, what, 18, 20 or thereabouts, and it kind of stops. But that's not really the case, is it?
No, we're growing our capacity all the way to puberty in terms of those neural connections, those synapses. What happens at puberty, and that's a range between 8 and about 13 in the Western world now, which is pretty stunning to think some young girls are going through puberty at that young, but even in year 3. But once we get to puberty, our brains, which are pretty archaic, start to prune the pathways that we don't use. So if you haven't learned a second language, to play the guitar, to say thank you, or to do the proper stuff, you kind of lose that ability. We used to think that was it. You might as well mail it in till you're 80. But we can actually regrow that capacity, but we have to do it experientially. And that's where schools that are sit and get, the ones which are passive, you go sit in rows and you take knowledge from teachers and you write tests, don't really help us, because the only way to learn another language past puberty is actually to experience it by going to that culture and being immersed in it, needing to have food, figuring out the train system, or having to figure out body necessities.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I just thought that was my learning style. I'm not one to love sitting and reading and studying, quote unquote. But if I'm put into a situation where you have to do it, or the situation is around you physically, I do better. So that's kind of how we all are once we get to a certain point, is what you're saying.
That's how we all are, but we're made to feel it's our problem for being anxious sitting passively. We have to be discovery learners. The other component of our learning is we're actually photographers. We think of literacy as learning letters and syllables and then words, and when we come up with sentences and paragraphs, we actually take pictures of them. So actually, we're photographers taking pictures, and then when we learn to read, we're decoding those pictures as letters. So in fact, if we had an IKEA desk to put together in the studio today, I'm not reading the instructions.
I'm not doing that. That's not happening.
I'm going on YouTube, and we're watching the video. Or we'll put the right door on wrong and have to undo it and put it on correctly. So the learning styles actually we're born natively are to discover and explore and to build and to make. Most of schooling today is the opposite. It's to be quiet and to sit passively and to follow and be compliant. So you see what happens with kids that are actually very enthusiastic about their action. They get thought of as discipline issues or problems, rather than that's actually the way we learn, is doing stuff, not listening.
I think that's a good point. And so all this time we've been blaming the really bad instructions that come with those put it together things. It's not the instructions, it's just we need to do it.
Yeah, I think the instructions are written by people that learned English as a third language, though.
Maybe they did. So how do we get around that in a school environment? I guess we make some changes?
Yeah, so in the early primary days, rather than teaching compliance and rules, you teach discovery and invention and inquiry, problem solving and collaboration. In addition to the literacy and numeracy, we've tended to focus on the book learning, holding off on the other. We need to do both. And in secondary schools, with that knowledge, we have to understand that post-puberty, we have to be building and making and designing and exploring and doing. And then the reading and the studying come because you're motivated by that. Many schools on the fringes are embedding those into their programs. Not enough of them at this point have fully switched on kids. And the real issue is what motivates you is by doing the things that you're passionate about. So the real flipping on of all of those hundreds of billions of neural network pathways that you have is really finding your passion and going for it. And a lot of schools have now flipped to where they're saying, What motivates you? Let's study the literacy and numeracy around that so that we get kids' motivation tied in with their academic knowledge.
We hear that so often, don't we? If you follow what you're good at, what you love doing, and also if you think of all of this holistically, we're kind of limitless in what we can do to a point, aren't we?
You know what's amazing? In the last 50,000 years, our brain capacity has actually not grown. What I described to you as the 100 billion neurons and the 25,000 synapses that connect those neurons is about the same as 50,000 years ago. We're still operating on a Windows 95 platform here in many respects, but the ability to regenerate our knowledge means that even if you've been discouraged, even if you've fallen away from what you thought was your motivation, in 1 hour and one day with one motivating either lesson or experience, you can regenerate. It's like a tomato plant in the summer where you give a little water, the roots just started to grow. So regenerating neural connections is just one exciting learning moment away. That's what gives us hope that teachers can continue to do that in schools, but we're going to have to get away from that passive approach to much more the active one.
John, very, very interesting. Well, that's this morning. I might actually go off and learn a second language. English. I might get that one down.
Yeah.
John Buscetti, we'll catch you next week. Always an interesting chat about things that are happening in the world of education with us and for you this morning at 2NURFM 103.7.